Okay, good morning. We are doing, let's see, the Daf HaShavua, as always, is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. Our breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Liloy Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, Alav HaShalom, and Fega Bas Chaim, Alav HaShalom. We're doing Moed Katan, Daf Tes Zayin. We're going to start two lines from the bottom on Tes Vav on the base. We kind of did this yesterday, last week. We'll just do it. So this is actually picking up on the last theme, going through all the halachos of a avel and a mitzora and a menuda with respect to various restrictions. And the last thing we covered was mitzora maush yishlach karbanosav. And a mitzora can't go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring karbanos, but can the mitzora send someone else to bring karbanos on his behalf? And the Gemara derives the answer to that from a brisa. Tashma d'tanya, v'acharei taraso, achar prishaso, min ames shivas yom yisbruo. This is a pasuk in Yechezkel. Eilu shiva yimei sfiro. So the Rashi points out that the fact that the Gemara refers to the pasuk in Yechezkel refers to this as yimei sfiro. The pasuk shot of the pasuk is that it's talking about tumas meis. Someone who came in touch with a dead body and is not allowed to bring karbanos to the Beis Hamikdash during that time. But it could have said Yimei Hazaasa, the days that the blood is sprinkled, because that's halacha by a common base. And the fact that the pasuk went out of its way and referred to these as Yimei Sfiro, the days of counting, the intent was to capture not only a Tumas Meis in this pasuk, but also a Mitzora, because the Mitzora also counts days. And so therefore, it's talking about a tummy mace, and the pasuk continues. V'yom bo'el hakodesh al chatzera pnimis l'sharis b'kodesh akrivu chataso, and it says zu asira sa'ifa shalo. This is referring to the asira sa'ifa that the Kohanim would bring on the days that the first day of service, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the point is that it's only during. It's only after he becomes eligible to go back to the Kodesh, the Yom Bo'el HaKodesh, that he brings this karban, implying that during his Mitzora days, he's not allowed to bring karbanos, or for that matter, no one can bring karbanos in his behalf. Rabbi Shimon derives it from a different pasuk, Bevo Yakriv, actually the same pasuk, I think, but Bevo Yakriv. The Bach points out it really should say V'yom Bo'o, because that's what the pasuk says. V'yom Bo'o, b'zman she'roi l'biya roi l'akrava, b'zman she'ino roi l'biya ino roi l'akrava. It's only when you are eligible to go to the Beis HaMikdash that you can bring a karban, but if you're not eligible to go to the Beis HaMikdash, like a mitzora is not, then you can't bring a karban, then he can't have a karban brought in his behalf. Okay, that's the end of that whole discussion, at the end of the Gemara's whole discussion about all these parallel halachos of an avel and a mitzora and a menuda. And now the Gemara is going to, once we're talking about the category of a menuda, the Gemara is going to talk about all these halachos relating to a menuda. What's a menuda? A menuda is not something we practice nowadays. It's someone who's put in nidoy. So nowadays we have kind of a lower form of this, practically speaking. Someone who has a seiruv issued against them by a bezdin is subject to various forms of communal ostracism, but it's not as strict as some of the things we'll see here. But it's kind of fashioned after some of the halachos of a menuda. And as we'll see later on in this Gemara, there are two categories of a menuda. There's a menuda who's completely ostracized, who Bezdin says, you are in nidoy because you've committed some sort of chait, and we want to set an example and show people that someone who does these things should be ostracized. And then you're fully ostracized from the community, from everyone. And then we'll see later on that there's kind of an idea of menudo l'chatzoin, someone who is disrespectful to a particular Talmud Chacham, and as a result, the Talmud Chacham can place him in nidoy, like, don't talk to me. Or, for that matter, we'll see later on in the Gemara, you can do it yourself, kind of as a self-reprimand. If you feel that you were disrespectful to a certain Talmud Chacham, you could say, okay, I realize that I went over the line, I want to ostracize myself from talking to this Talmud Chacham. And we'll talk about how these are not necessarily full-fledged nidoy cases, because other people can talk to you, it's just that you're self-ostracized or ostracized from talking to a particular Talmud Chacham or a particular group of Talmud Chacham, or whatever, we'll see. But the Gemara is first going to address the halachos of nidoy in the context of someone who doesn't come to Beis Din when he's invited to come to Beis Din because someone has a claim against him. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Minolan de Mishadrinan Shlicha de Beidina, Mizamino Eudina. How do we know this concept that if someone has a claim against you and Beis Din feels that it's a valid claim, Beis Din will send a messenger from the Beis Din and invite you to go to Beis Din to litigate the claim? How do we know that? In the context of the whole situation of Korach and Dasan and Aviram, so Moshe didn't just render judgment. First, he invited Dasan and Aviram to participate essentially in a Din Torah and presenting their side of things. So he first invited them to come. So that's the scriptural source for inviting someone to come to Beis Din. How do we know that specifically he comes in order to participate in the Beis Din? That you should come, right? How do you know that the invitation to participate in the Din Torah, the invitation to come to Beis Din, should specify that it's in front of this particular communal leader, this Gavra Rava? Because there the Pasuk says that Hashem, that Moshe invited them to come with Nei Hashem, indicating to them who they're being judged in front of. And then the Gemara says, Atu Planya, how do you know that you mentioned both parties in the Hazmana, in the invitation, that you are being summoned because Ploni has a claim against you? How do you know that? Dixiv Ata Vehem Varum, because the invitation for Dasan and Aviram indicated not only them, the defendants, but also the plaintiffs. Dekavin and Zimna, how do you know that the Hazmana should actually set a time for the Din Torah? Dechsiv Machar, because it says, come tomorrow. Zimna Basar Zimna, how do you know that if they miss the first time, you give them a second chance and you name another appointed date? Dechsiv Kirusham Paro Melch Mitzrayim Sha'un Hadira Moed. This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu where it's talking about the Yirmiyahu is giving warning to Bnei Yisrael, that to Kal Yisrael, that Mitzrayim is going to invade and cause them trouble. And the context there involves some missing of an appointed time, and he gives them a second chance or something like that. Fine. Uminoan di misfaker bishlicha de beidina. How do you know that if the person is disrespectful to the shliach Beis Din who comes to invite them to the Din Torah, va'asi va'amar, and the shliach Beis Din comes back to Beis Din and reports back that the person who was invited was disrespectful to him, mischazi kavishna bisha, that doesn't constitute lashon hara? I mean, this shliach Beis Din is doing his job. He went to invite this person to come to a Din Torah. The guy spit in his face or something, and then the shliach Beis Din goes back to Beis Din to report what happened with this guy. This guy should be subject to nidui. This guy should be ostracized. And so that's not considered lashon hara for that shliach Beis Din to do his job and report back. How do we know that? Because the pasuk specifically says that someone reported to Moshe of wrongdoing that someone had done. So if I nay on Hashem, I am to not care. This is when Dasan and Aviram declined to come, and the shliach Beis Din went back to Moshe and reported back that they responded disrespectfully. Okay.
Is this
true
nowadays? Also,
it
has to be a natural
person. So the Minhag among Batei Din nowadays is to do it by mail. Send a letter. We don't have a shliach Beis Din go to each person.
And you follow all these specifics.
The other specifics we follow, we explain who the parties were, we mention a time. Some but they didn't have the practice of actually setting a time and say you appear at 10 a.m. on this day in front of the Beis Din.
Versus just saying,
get back to us as to whether you're willing to come. The Beis Din of America, I could say, in our Hazmanas, we don't set a time because it's kind of silly. The guy's not going to come. We need to know that the Dayan needs to be ready.
Right.
And to set a time. So we instead set a date, a deadline. You need to respond to us by
forget.
December 31st.
Forget
for a Din Torah, for a commercial claim that someone has against someone. So we say get back to us by this certain time to let us know whether you're prepared to submit to the Beis Din. The halachos are somewhat thrown off by the fact that we're not a Beis Din Kavod. We don't have absolute authority to to insist that someone appears in front of our Beis Din, what we're doing is ascertaining that they're willing to come to our Beis Din rather than going to a different Beis Din. It's a little complicated by that fact. Right, we don't have that authority to say, come in front of us 10 a.m. tomorrow, and if you don't, you're in big trouble, and we're going to put you in shambles.
When the Sanhedrin comes and we have our Tshuva, then we will, right?
Yeah, when the Sanhedrin is back in play, then we'll be able to follow these all to the letter of the law, right? Okay, good. How do you know that we put the person in Shamta, which is a firm form of nidui, like, you know, ostracism, excommunication, if he doesn't come to Beis Din? Dechsev Oru Meiroz. So this is a pasuk from Shiras Devorah, I believe. It's from the story of Barak and Sisera and Devorah, right? That whole situation in Sefer Shoftim. And it says Oru Meiroz. Now, Oru Meiroz is, it's debatable, we'll see in a moment, what's Meiroz, but at least according to the pshat that we're following now, Meiroz was a person who actually refused to come and fight when Sisera invited everyone to come fight, right? Sisera's the bad guy. When Barak invited everyone to fight, right? Barak was fighting Sisera on behalf of the Jewish people and summoned the people to come fight. So Meiroz apparently was a guy who was AWOL. He didn't come. He didn't respond to the draft. So it says, Oru Meiroz. And Oru implies that you should put in, that Meiroz should be put into Chayram, some sort of Shamta. Okay, and then the Gemara says, how do you know the Hachi Svara de Gavra Rabba? How do you know that you have to say in the Shamta that it was a... that it was the idea of this Gavra, meaning that you do the Shamta in the name of a certain communal leader. You say that this was Barak, let's say, or whoever it was that's putting the person in Shamta, Dechsiv Amar Malach Hashem, because he actually said it in the name of Malach Hashem. So you see that the Shamta should be stated in the name of the leader who's doing it. Minon de Macharminon, how do you know to put this person in Chayrim after the higher level? Dechsiv Oru Arur, that he should actually be cursed, that he should be upgraded to that second, downgraded to that second level of Chayrim. Fine. Next is the Achil Vishasi Bahadei, Vikaibar Bahamos Bidei. How do you know that you put in Shamta not only the person himself who refused to come, but also someone who does business and eats and drinks with him? I mean, anyone who socializes with him gets a secondary Shamta. It's like when they had the boycott of Israel in the old days. It wasn't just the countries that did business with Israel directly, but the countries who did. It wasn't Israel directly. It wasn't only Israel who was boycotted, but any country who did business with Israel was boycotted. There was a secondary boycott in effect.
Is that the whole BDS?
That's their BDS also. They do a secondary, I think. Right. So the same thing was true here. Not only was the person himself in Shamta for not coming to Beis Din, but anyone who socialized with him, who ate and drank with him, or who came within four amos of him, they themselves were put in Shamta to siv Yoshveha, because that pasuk says not only him, but also Yoshveha, the people around him. How do you know that when you put someone in Nidoi, that you specify the chataim that subjected himself to that nidui? Dechsiv kilo bo'u Ezra Hashem, because the pasuk says specifically why he was put in Shamta, or nidui. V'amar Ua. Ua says the following, B'dalad mea shifori Shamte Barak l'maros, that Barak specifically put maros in Shamta by blowing on 400 horns, meaning blowing 400 shofars. That's another way of publicizing the fact that this guy's in Shamta. Okay. Now, who was this Maroz guy that we've been talking about, the guy who refused to come to battle? So, Ika Damri, there are some who say Gavra Rabba Hava, that he was a big guy, a guy, I guess, who would have been effective in helping the fight. The Ika Damri, and there's another opinion that says he wasn't a person altogether, but rather Kochava Hava, that he was a constellation, he was a certain star. Shenemar min shamayim nulchamo ha-kochavim, because it says that the stars fought, meaning that this was a, Rashi explains that it was mazoi de Sisera, that when it's talking about all these pejoratives that we've been saying about maros, that he gets put in nidoy and that he's cursed and he gets in etc., that it's referring not to an individual who refused to come to battle, but rather it was the mazel of Sisera, that it was the constellation, whatever it was, astronomically, that spoke of the success of Sisera. That's what was cursed, and that's why Sisera was defeated. Completely different shot as to what we've been saying.
Without
expecting Mazel
Sisera to come and help Hashem?
I don't know. Kibo Bo Ezra Hashem.
Well, maybe he was just supposed to ignore the fact that it was
this. Yeah, maybe you just darshan that pasuk differently. Lazarus Hashem is on the next one. But Kibo Bo, that meaning the Mazel sister didn't help him out, didn't save him that day. Okay, now the verse says in Minolan, back on the topic of Nidui, Minolan demafkarina nichsei. How do you know that his nechasim become hefker, that people can actually take his property? Whoever doesn't come for 3 days and doesn't listen to what the Zakenim are saying, that his assets are actually taken away, they become hefker. How do you know that you oppress the guy and you curse the guy and you beat the guy and you pull his hair out and you take shvuas against him, all sorts of terrible stuff? How do you know this? So talking about a context in which they were putting someone in Chiram or in Shamkin, it talks about all these things, that you fight against him and you curse him, you hit him, you pull his hair, you make virtues against him. How do you know that you tie the guy up, that you put him in jail? These are all things that you could do to a person in Nidui. That you chase him. I'll explain what that means in a moment. How do you know that? Again, pasuk again referring to all these times of things that you tie him up, you banish him, you do things like that. My Lusharushe, so one of the words in that pasuk was Lusharushe. So what does that mean? Amar Ada Mari, Amar Nechemia Bar Baruch, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hardafa, it means Hardafa. So my Hardafa, what's Hardafa? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Breider Shua Bar Shios, Mishmei Derab, Minadim Alde. Hardafa means that you do it quickly. That you put the guy in Nidui quickly, you don't let a lot of time pass. Fine. And then you repeat it after 30 days. So you put him in Nidui for a certain amount of time, then you're going to repeat it after 30 days. And then after a total of 60 days, you put him in Cheder. Meaning you could keep on elevating his status if he keeps not listening. The quote of Chista is saying, Masrin be sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, that you give him hasra three times, on Monday, and then on Thursday, and then on Monday. So Tosos has two opinions as to whether this means you give him three warnings before you do anything to him, or whether it means you give him warning once and you put him in Nidui, and then you give him warning again, and he still hasn't corrected his actions, you put him in Nidui again. Then you do it a third time, you do Nidui again. The practice of Batei Din generally is that there are no consequences until after you warn the guy three times. So we send three hazmanas typically, and then after the third hazmana, then we'll send a final warning, a Sra Seiruv, a warning that he's going to be put in Seiruv, and only after that do we issue the Seiruv against him. And then the Gemara says, "Hani miwi l'mamona." This idea of warning him before you do anything is only for monetary claims, where a person is not responding to Bezdin on a monetary claim. Aval afkirusa, but if it's talking about someone who is disrespectful to a Talmud Chacham, so then la'alter. Then you put him in Nidui right away. That's a much more serious offense. He doesn't deserve any warnings. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to tell a story about a certain cook. Ha'u tabcha, there was a cook, the spaker b'Rav Tuvi bar Masna, that he was disrespectful to Rav Tuvi, the son of Masna. Imnu alei, Abai v'Rava. So Abai and Rava brought him to judgment. Vishamtuhu, and they put him in Shamta. This guy was in big, big trouble, this cook. Wasof, azol, paisei l'baldine. In the end, the cook did tshuva, and he asked for forgiveness from the person he had been disrespectful to, Rav Tuvi bar Masna. So Amar Abaye, Hechi Levid.
So Abaye wasn't sure what he should do now, because the guy now did tshuva before the time was up. Right? The shamta was for 30 days, and this guy now reconciled with Rav Tuvi Bar Masna before the 30 days were up. So Abaye said, what should we do? If we let him go now and undo the shamta, we'll chal shamta le'tasin yomin. So then the shamta will not have really been a shamta. We wouldn't have properly punished him then. Punished him because it will not have lasted 30 days. But if we don't permit him, then what are the Rabbanon going to eat? Because this guy is a good cook, and we want to be able to eat from him. So Amrulay Rav Idi Bar Avin, so they went to Rav Idi Bar Avin, and they said to him, or I guess Abaye went to Rav Idi Bar Avin, and he said to him, "Midi Shmieli Balach Baha, do you know what the halacha is? What do we undo the shamta because the guy now complied?" Amrulay Hachi Amar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi Amar Shmuel. So he quoted the name of Shmuel, Tut Asar V'Tut Shari, that just like it's easy to just blow the shofar to put him in shamta, it's just as easy to blow the shofar and take him out of shamta. In other words, undo the shamta even though 30 days hasn't passed, because the guy is now complied. Amrulay, Hani Nilu Mamona. He said, that's true when it comes to monetary claims. Once the guy complies, you immediately take off the shamta. Avalaf Kirusa, but when it comes to someone who's disrespectful to Otam Chacham, Adechayla Shamta Lei Tlasin Yomin. So when it comes to shamta for someone who is disrespectful to a Talmud Chacham, there the shamta is a form of punishment. It's not just an incentive for the guy to comply and come to Beis Din. There we're punishing him, and for 30 days he has to be put into excommunication, and therefore you can't undo it for just because he's now complied, or just because he's now reconciled. So Alma Kasavra Abaye, so we see from this story that Abaye holds Hani Beit Plasa the Shamitu, that when a Beis Din of three puts someone into shamta, lo asu tlas achrina vishari lei. Right? The conclusion of the story is that you shouldn't have another group of three undo the shamta. Divayuhu. Because in fact, this is a machlokas itself. This is a point of contention, as we are about to say. Divayuhu. Because they raise the following question. Hani Beit Lasa the Shamita, where you have a Beis Din of three that puts someone in Shamta, Mahu Lemese Tlasa Queen of Asharle. Can another Beis Din come and undo the Shamta? Presumably because there's a reason. The guy reconciled with the Talmud Chachamim is Mivazer or something else. So can they come and undo the Shamta? So we're going to try to prove the answer to the following. Tashma, we have a price. Menudo Rav. Menudo Thomas. This is getting into what we were discussing before, which is that you can have something called a menudo achatzayim, a nidol achatzayim, where someone is not in a full communal ostracism, where no one can speak to him, but rather he was disrespectful to one particular individual, and so that one particular individual now kind of casts him off and makes him ostracized from him. So now we say menudo rav, someone who's a menuda to a particular rav, is also menudo talmid. His talmidim, that rav's talmidim, should also ostracize the individual. It's like, you know, one for one, one for all. They'll stick together. Menudo talmid. But if, let's say, you were respectful to one of the talmidim, so the talmid couldn't put you in shamta because you were, the talmid will say you were respectful to me. I'm now ostracizing you. But eno menudo rav, I could still have a relationship. I could still talk to and communicate with the rav. Because the Rav is not subject to the kavod of the Talmud, right? The Talmud's nidui is of a lower level. It doesn't encompass the Rav as well. And then similarly, menudo iro, menudo ira cheres. If you are ostracized by your own city in which you live, so that's a big deal, and then no other city should be having any dealings with you. However, menudo ira cheres, if you go visit another city and you get in trouble there, and they put you in nidui, so that's not quite as high a level. I guess they don't have the complete jurisdiction over your body that your own city does, and so therefore, eno menudo iro, you are not now subject to ostracism in your own city. If you go on vacation and you get in trouble in Miami, and they give you a citation, if you come back to New Jersey, people can still do business with you. That's what it's saying. And then similarly, menudo la nasi, menudo la Yisrael. If you get in trouble with the nasi, you're disrespectful to the nasi, the leader, and he puts you in nidui, so then you're in big trouble. No one else should be talking to you. However, menudu l'chol Yisrael, if I get in a specific spat with one person, and he puts me in nidui, or even a whole community puts me in nidui, nevertheless, inu menudu l'nasi, the nasi is the leader. He's not subject to that excommunication. He can break through and talk to you. So there are different levels of this nidui l'chatzai. Fine. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, to finish off that brace, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Echad min ha-talmidim shenida umeis, chelko eino mufar. So, if one of the people on the Bezdin, meaning one of the people who put you in nidui, let's say, for example, it was a Bezdin of three that put you in nidui, and then one of the three people died, chelko eino mufar, meaning in order to undo the nidui, Rav Shimon Gamliel is presuming, in order to undo the nidui, you'd need that before the 30 days, you'd need that same Bezdin of three to undo the nidui. And so when we say that one of the members of that Bezdin died, his seat is not mufar, his doesn't just dissolve into the other two, but rather you need him, he's dead now, so basically he's saying you can't undo that nidui until the 30 days is up. So Shmami Natlas, we see from this price of three things. Shmami Natalmud Shanida Lukhvodo, Niduyo, Nidui. We see that there is such a thing as a Talmud, even someone who's not a Talmud Chacham of high stature, even just a regular Talmud, his kavod is sufficient to put someone in Nidui. That's number one. Because we saw the Talmud, we said, Menudo Talmud, and Menudo Rabba, right? Vishmami Nam, the second thing we learn is Koecha Ve'achad Mefer Chelka. That each person on the Bezdin, who participated in the nidui can kind of give up his rights to the other members of the Bezdin, because we saw in the situation where the guy died that he couldn't, so that implies that if he was still alive he could give up his rights, and the other members of the Bezdin could undo the afar. The Shmamina, and third thing is Hani Beit Tlasa Deshamitu Asu Tlasa Achuna V'Sharulei. We see from the fact that when one guy dies, the other two can't do, that the guy is stuck in nidui for 30 days, we see that another Bezdin can't come and undo a shamta of another Bezdin, not their own. Amar Amemar, but Amemar says against that, Hilchas Adalacha is Hani Beit Tlasa Deshamitu, when three people put someone in Shamta, Asu Beit Tlasa Achrina Visharilei, that another Bezdin can in fact step in and undo the Shamta of a different Bezdin. The post can talk about whether it's got to be a Bezdin of equal stature, a Gadol Himenu Bechachim of Minyan, but be it as it may, there is some situation where a Bezdin can undo the Shamta of another Bezdin. Amar Rav Ashi Amemar. So Rav Ashi said to Amemar, I don't understand. How can you paskin that way, that a Bezdin can undo the shamta of another Bezdin? V'atanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echem Natamin Shanidu, Meischal Kleinu Mufar. We just said that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that it's got to be that Bezdin, and in fact, if one of the members of the Bezdin dies, then the guy's stuck. So doesn't that prove that another Bezdin can't undo any do of another Bezdin? My love, Einu Mufar Klal, and that implies that you can't undo it. Well, and so he answers, well, Ad'asu Beitlasa Achrinu V'Sharalei. Shimon Gamliel was just saying that that Bezdin itself can't undo the Bezdin, can't undo the Nidui, because one of its members is now dead. But that's not to say that another Bezdin couldn't come and undo the Nidui, and that's in fact how we pass it. Another Bezdin may undo the Shamta of another Bezdin. Tana Rabbanan, a Nidui pachos mi lamed yom, vein nezifa pachos mi zayin yom. So when we refer to the word Nidui, that means 30 days minimum. Can't have Nidui less than 30 days. Vein nezifa pachos mi zayin yom, and nezifa is a lower form of Nidui. That's at least 7 days. It's a shorter. Be'afa pishen raya adavar, zecher adavar. And we have a kind of not necessarily a proof to that, but a mnemonic to think about it. Shenemar v'aviyar yorokarach b'faneha hotachum shivas yomim. By Miriam, when she was set aside, when she had tzaras, she was put aside for 7 days. So that's the minimum for nezifa. Amar Rav Chisda, nidui shelanu k'nezifa shelan. So Rav Chisda points out that in Bavel, we are of a lower level. And so our nidui is not as powerful as the nidui that they would do in Eretz Yisrael. Our nidui is kind of equivalent to their nezifa. So if their nezifa is for 7 days, our nidui can be for like 7 days. The nezifa ditu shiva v'suo. So the Gemara says, is it really true that the nazifa of them in Eretz Yisrael was for only 7 days and not more? But don't we have stories that tell us otherwise? V'ha Rav Shimon bar Rebbe bar Kafra. So there's a story now with Rav Shimon bar the son of Rebbe and bar Kafra. They were chavrusas, havu yasvi v'kogarsi. They were learning together. Kashu u'shmaitza, and they came across a problem. They didn't know the pshat in something. So Amor Rav Shimon bar Kafra. So Rav Shimon said to his chavrusa bar Kafra, Dover zet sarach Rebbe. We need a Rebbe to teach us this. He probably was referring to his own father. This is Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe. So he was saying, let's ask my father pshat in this pasuk, let's say. So Amrei Bar Kafra or Rav Shimon, Bar Kafra said to Rav Shimon his Chavrusa, Uma Rebbe Omer B'davar Zeh. He says, what Rebbe is going to know the answer to this? This is too hard a question. Even Rebbe, your father, he's not going to know the answer to this question. So Azo Amrei Lavua. So Bar Kafra, I guess, came home that night and he was schmoozing with his father, Rebbe. And his father said, what happened in Beis Medrash today? And he said, oh, we ran into such a big problem that my chavrusa bar Kafra thought it was such a problem that even you couldn't answer. So ikbid. So Rebbe got insulted, and he thought this was not appropriate. This was not respectful to him, because I'm a big Talmud Chacham. Bar Kafra shouldn't have spoken so flippantly and said that I couldn't have helped answer this question. So Asa bar Kafra was chazuyele. Bar Kafra later came to visit Rebbe. Amrlei, so Rebbe said to Bar Kafra, remember Rebbe was angry at Bar Kafra, he thought he had been disrespectful to him. So Amrlei, so Rebbe said, Bar Kafra ini makircha me'olam. He says, Bar Kafra, I never even recognized you, meaning I don't know who you are. I mean, you're not the Bar Kafra I know. You were disrespectful to me. So yada denaka nosa bedaite. And so Bar Kafra realized at this point that he had been disrespectful and that Rebbe was holding him accountable, that Rebbe was makbid on this disrespect. And so therefore, Nahag Nizivusa b'nafshei tlasin yomin. So Bar Kafra announced the Nizifa for himself. He said, I was disrespectful to Rebbe. Rebbe is being holding me to task for that. And so therefore, I am going to ostracize myself from Rebbe for 30 days as kind of a self-inflicted Nizifa. To make up for that. But we see here that Nazifa is for not for 7 days, but for 30 days. Now we have another story. Shuv pam echad gazer Rebbe shul yeshanu tamid mishuk. Rebbe made a gzera that you shouldn't teach Torah in the shuk. Torah you should teach in the base medrash or in the shul. You shouldn't learn it in the shuk. My darash, and what was his drasha for driving that? Hamuke yerechayach kmo chalahim. That your treasured thigh is like jewels. Meaning it's comparing Torah to a thigh. And my yerech b'seser, just like a thigh shouldn't be exposed because of sneas, so I have divrei Torah b'seser, so too divrei Torah should be taught at sneas, quietly, not in the shuk. What happened? Yatzar Rabbi Chia v'shino shnei b'nei achiv v'shuk. So Rabbi Chia taught his two nephews Torah in the shuk. Urav Bar Rakhana. His two nephews, Rav and Bar Rakhana. Shama Rebbe Ikbid. Rebbe heard that this had happened, that he had violated his word, and he was makbid. Asar Rabbi Chia was chazuyelei. Rav Chia came to visit Rebbe. Amrlei, Iya mikori l'cha b'chutz. So he called him Iya. He didn't even say his word Chia. He was saying Iya as a kind of a nickname to him, a bad, like making fun of him. You are Iya, who learned outside against what I said? Why did you teach your two nephews in the shuk? So Chia, Rabbi Chia realized that Rebbe was very makbid on this and that he was angry. And so therefore he accepted upon himself a nizifa, a self-imposed ostracism for 30 days. So on the 30th day, Rebbe sent for Rabbi Chia and he said, come. Right? Rebbe knew that he had put him in the chayram for himself in the chayram for 30 days, and the 30th day he said, come. Hadar shalachay dolo, I say. And then Rebbe sent a messenger to say, actually, don't come. Meikar my sabra, lo sof my sabra. What was Rebbe thinking? Why did he change his mind? So Meikara Savar, the Gemara says, in the beginning he thought Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. We have a halacha in Shas, and particularly in Hilchos Avelos, of Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo, that a partial day is counted as a full day. And so now the 30th day, the day had partially expired, and so he called him. Sof Savar Lomri in Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. And later on he realized, or he thought, no, we actually don't hold Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo, and that's why he called him off. Sof Asa. In the end, he came, right? Ruchia came to Rebbe. Amrulay amai asis. So Rebbe said, why'd you come? I told you not to come. Amrulay deshalchli mar d'leise. He said, you told me to come. So Rebbe says, v'ashalchi l'lecha d'lo l'teisi. He said, it's true, I sent a messenger to come, but then I also sent the second messenger that said, don't come. Amrulay zera isi v'zelar isi. So Ruchia said, I only met the first messenger, but I didn't hear about the second messenger. He didn't get to me. So Kariale Birtos Hashem Darchi Yish Gamay Vav Yish Yashlim Ito. So he quoted a pasuk to say that when Hashem wants good things to happen, He's going to make it happen, even for someone who did something bad. Meaning you lucked out by only hearing the first messenger and not the second. My time of it, Marachi. So he said to him, why did you do this? Why did you teach outside, even though I told you not to teach Torah in the Shuk? Amroi dechsiv chachmos bachutz tarona. He quoted a pasuk from Mishlei that makes it sound like you should teach wisdom outside. Amroi im kariso shaniso im shaniso shilashtiv im shilashtiv pirshulcha chachmos pirshulcha. So he says, if you read that pasuk once, so you didn't really get the right pshat. You didn't read it a second time. If you've read it a second time, you didn't read it a third time. Meaning you didn't really understand the pshat in that pasuk, because I understand that pasuk is referring to something else. Chachmas b'chutz tarona, kidirava, yamarava kol osik b'tor b'bifnim, torasu machrez zalav milchutz. The pshat in that pasuk is to say that if you learn Torah and internalize it, then it will, the kavod will come to you. People will recognize the fact that you're a Talmud Chacham, and it'll automatically be like a public matter, even though you yourself only did it as a private matter. Then the Gemara says, "Vaksiv lo merosh baseser dibarti." There's a pasuk that implies that you should not hear the Torah secretly. So the Gemara answers, "Ho biyom dekala." That's talking about on the days of where public learning of Torah, where they had a public teaching of Torah, but otherwise Torah should be taught privately. Rabbi Chia, who held that you should teach Torah in public, what did he hold of the very first pasuk that Rebbe had invoked to say that you shouldn't teach Torah in the Shuk, talking about how it's like a thigh that should be kept private? Muki lab it stuck of milas chasadim. So he said, no, that's talking about stuck on gilas chasadim. You should do gilas chasadim in private, not trumpet the fact that you're doing chasadim. That's what you should do privately. But teaching Torah is a whole different story. That's important to do publicly. But the important thing here is alma nazifa detu tchlas yomim. We see here that second instance where we see that nazifa was for 30 days, not 7 days. So the Gemara answers, right, and that's at odds with what we had said before, that nazifa is only 7 days. The Gemara answers, nazifas nasi shiny. This was talking about the nazifa for Rebbe. Rebbe was the nasi, and therefore, for Rebbe, you put him in nazifa. I'm sorry, for a nasi, his stature is so high, you put him in nazifa for 30 days, whereas for someone else, only 7 days. Okay, I have to pick up the speed because we're running out of time. Nazifa zidan kama habe. How much is our nazifa? That was the nazifa in Eretz Yisrael. But how much is nazifa in Bavel, which is on a lower level? That's only one day. How do we know this? Ki yadu Shmuel Marukva. Shmuel Marukva. Ki yavu yasvi garsi shmaisa. They were sitting and learning Torah together. Ki yavu yasvi garsi shmaisa. Whenever they were learning Torah together, havu yasvi Marukva kamei de Shmuel. Marukva, who was the Reish Galusa, he was someone of high stature politically. He would sit in front of Shmuel. Shmuel was the bigger Talmud Chacham. Richuk Talmud Alan. He would sit with four Amos away to show his deference. V'chi Aviyasvi Bedina, but when they were sitting on Dinei Torah and deciding actual communal matters, Aviyasiv Shmuel Kamei de Marukva Brichuk Talmud Amos, then Shmuel would show respect to Marukva, who was the Reish Galusa, and he would set aside four Amos. And he would sit on a lower, Marukva would sit on a lower matting to show respect for Shmuel. And he would sit on it. To hear him. And so Mar Okfa, after they would finish learning, Mar Okfa would accompany Shmuel back to his house. Yumachad itra bedine. But one day Mar Okfa, the Reish Gawusa, got caught up in dealing with halachos in dinim, and Havaazo Shmuel Basrei, and Shmuel followed him. Right, he didn't accompany Shmuel. Instead, Mar Okfa got caught up. They got separated. Mar Okfa went ahead, and then Shmuel ended up following him. Something of somewhat of disrespect to Shmuel, because normally Mar Okfa would accompany Shmuel. Kimato Beisei, when he got to his house, Amar Lo Nago Kol Ishri Umar B'Tigrei. So he said, "Isn't it enough for you? I'm insulted." Said Shmuel, "I'm insulted by the fact that you didn't accompany me. Let me go home myself." So Yada Dinakan Milsa B'Daitei. Mar Okfa realized that he had been disrespectful and that Shmuel was holding him to task for that. And so he made a nazifa. He put himself in self nazifa, put in self ostracism for one day. So we see from there that nazifa in Babel is one day. There was a woman who sat on the path of Upashtakara, and she would extend her leg out, the ka manifa hushlai, and she was sifting barley. And the Talmid Chachamim would walk by, and she didn't stand up, she didn't give them the proper respect. So someone said, that's such a big chutzpah that woman is just sifting barley and not giving respect to the Talmid Chachamim. They went to Rav Nachman. Amar la, so Amar la, he said to her, Misham Shamsa Mipume. Did you hear about a shamta from him? Amrulay, so she said to him, "Whoa." She said, "No." Amrulay, zivu nihugin zivusa chayuma benafshayich. Oh, right. Meaning, they asked her, "Did you hear this Talmid Chacham? You had disrespected, put you in shamta." She said, "No." So they said, "Okay, you're not in shamta because no one put you in shamta, but you should at least do a nazifa for yourself. Do a self." Nazifa for one day. Again, indicating that Nazifa in Babel is one day. Zushra bar Tuvia v'kapasuk sidra kamed Rav Yehuda. So he was learning these psukim in front of Rav Yehuda. Kimatu haipsuka, and when he came to the following pasuk, Deva divrei David ha'achronim. There is a pasuk that says that these are the words of David at the end. The word divrei implies nevuah. So Amr Lei, Achronim Mechal Diko Rishonim. For the fact that it says these are the last words of David, that implies that there were earlier words of David, that David had received Nevuah in some earlier time. Rishonim Maininu, and what is this? When was the instance when David received Nevuah the first time? So Shasev Amr Lei, Vlamidi, he said, didn't say anything. Hado Amr Lei, Achronim Mechal Diko Rishonim. So he asked the question again, if it says that David got Nevuah at the end, that implies that he had Nevuah at the beginning. What was the pasuk in the beginning where he had Nevuah? Rishonim Mayhi. Amlei Mai Daitech. So he said, "What, you think just the fact that I'm not able to answer you, and I don't know the Shana and that Pasuk, I can't tell you the earlier Nevuah of David, that I'm not an impressive person, I'm not a good big person?" Yada Dinaka Nilsa Bidaite. So he realized that he had felt disrespected by that, by the fact that he posed the question twice, and therefore Nag Nizivuza bin Afshea Chadyuma. And so he imposed himself a Nazifa for one day. Udasan Allah, once we're on that topic, Mia, Achronim Bichlal Dika Rishonim Rishonim Ahi. What is the answer to that question? The Pasuk implies that there was an initial Nivu of David. What was that initial Nivu of David? The answer is Vaidaber David Hashem is Divrei Hashira Zos, Biyom Yitzio Hashem Oso Mikaf Ko Evav Mikaf Shaul. That David received Nevuah from Hashem on that day that he was saved from Shaul. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David, what was the Nevuah? What was the speech that Hashem gave to David? David, Shirata Umer al Mapalaso Shaul. You, David, are saying Shira, are so thankful about Shaul's downfall. So Moe Ata Shaul, who David, if you would have been Shaul and him David, meaning if you were in his place, Ibadi Kama David Mipanav, meaning Shaul is much greater than you, I would have destroyed many Davids just to save Shaul. So now David felt reprimanded, and he said as if he had made a mistake by saying Shira for Shaul's downfall. And so that's why it says in the Tilm, Shigayom David Asher Shar Lashem Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini. Vichi Kush Shemo, is this really Kush? Follow Shaul Shmo. His name is Roy Shaul. Why is he referred to Shaul? It's Kush. Ma Kushi Mishuno Beuro, just like a Kushi, someone from Ethiopia, an African, has darker skin than a Caucasian. So Af Shaul Mishuno Bemaisav, so too Shaul is different in his Maisim, meaning that he's on a high level. Another Gemara is going to quote a number of psukim that talk about comparing someone to a kushi, to someone who is dark skin. Referring to the woman, the kushis woman. This is talking about Tzipora, Isha's Moshe. Why is it referring to as a kushis? El makushis mishuna bi'ora, af Tzipora mishuna b'ma'aseha. It's saying just like a kushis has unusually dark skin, so too Tzipora has unusual maisim. She is a tzadeus. Similar, we have another pasuk. Ishma Eved Melchushi. Kushi Shmavo Tsukio Shmo. This pasuk is referring to Tsukio. Why is it saying a Kushi? El Makushi Mishuno Beoro Af Tsukio Mishuno Masav, that he had unusual mice. Similarly, how Kolukub Ne Kushim Atemui. Hashem is referring to Ben Israel as saying that they are Kushim to me. Yisrael, the Yisrael of Chikushim Shimon, Ma'u Yisrael Shimon. This is referring to Kal Yisrael. Why is it referring to them as Kushim? El Makushim Mishuno Beoro Af Yisrael Mishunim Bemaaseim Nikal Umos. Saying that Klal Yisrael is noteworthy in their maisim as compared to all the other nations, just like a Kushi's skin is noteworthy in its darkness. Amrav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amrav Yonasan. My dechsiv nuum David ben Yishai nuum agever hukam al. Referring to David, it says hukam al. Nuum David ben Yishai sheikim ola. It's sheikim ola. So al, which means on, is a play on the word ua, on yoke. Shugam ua shal tshuva, the yoke of tshuva. Meaning David was the one who kind of fashioned the idea of tshuva, or was noteworthy in his tshuva. Amar al kaisro li daber, tzur yisrael moshel v'adam tzadik moshel yirasel kim. My kamar, what is this possibly referring to? Amar av yavo, hachi kamar. Amar al kaisro li davar, tzur yisrael ni moshel v'adam mi moshel bi. So Hashem, David said, Hashem said to me that I am the ruler over people. I am the ruler of people, so who's the ruler over me? Kavyachol. So he says, Tzadik. The Tzadik is the ruler over Hashem, which is a little hard to understand. What does that mean? Shani gozer gezera umivatla. I need a gezera, and it's Tzadik through his meisim or through his tefillos, he's able to be mevatel a gezera that I made. Then the quotes another pasuk. What's this talking about? The giborim sitting by David. Amar Rabbi Avo, hachi kamer. When David was learning in yeshiva, he wouldn't sit on mattresses. He would sit on the rough floor. Whenever his Rebbe, so long as his Rebbe, Iriyah Iri, was alive, he would sit on mattresses. But when he died, Havamasni David or Rabban David took over as the Rebbe, and he would teach the rabbis of Abba Yosef al Gabi Karka. He would sit on the floor directly. They said to him, why don't you sit on mattresses, on cushions? Well, kibo ole. And he didn't listen. He wanted to do it straight on the floor. Tichach Muni, the pasuk says, Tichach Muni, Amar Rav, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, Hovil Shpalta Atzmacha, since you put yourself so low, meaning you sat on the floor and you didn't sit on mattresses when you were teaching Torah Tekan Moni, you should be like me, Shani Gozer Gezer Vatam Mevatel, because I, Hashem, make Gezeros, and you will have the power of being Mevatel Gezeros. Rosh HaShalishim, the pasuk says that David was Rosh HaShalishim. What does that mean? Tehirosh Lisholshas Avos, he was like the head of the three Avos, meaning he's high in stature like the three Avos. The pasuk then says, "V'huadenu ha'etzani she'yoshe v'osik b'torah ha'yam adon atzmo kitolas." When David Melch was sitting and learning Torah, he would be soft like a worm, meaning he would be just relaxed and learning it nicely. But when he was a warrior, when he went out to war, ha'yam maksha atzmo k'eit. So then he was a tough guy like wood. What's this talking about? The fact that David killed 800 people. That he was able to throw a spear and kill 800 people at once. Talking about the what a warrior David was. And yet he was misanech. He would sigh al masayim. He would kind of be dejected on the fact that he was 200 short. Right? The pasuk says you run after 1,000. He only killed 800 with one sword, so he thought he was short 200. And so Basko came out and said, the reason you're short 200 is because of the matter of Uri Achiti, the affair with Batsheva. Had you not sinned with Batsheva, you would have been able to kill 1,000 with one sword, and that's why you're short. The next two lines are just quoting the who says the member that appears of the Talmud, so we can stop there.
That's great. Benching? Yeah, thank you.